Hi, and I'm Roger Watson, the Editor-in-Chief of the Journal of Advanced Nursing. I'm going to introduce a series of talks which are going to be called collectively Myths About Academic Publishing. Over the years as an editor and also as an author, listening to other people speaking and being asked questions when I've been doing writing for publication workshops, I've come across some strange ideas. Most of these are things that I'm asked about, which I just think are completely untrue. And I often wonder where they come from. I think, frankly, they come from other people like me, other editors who have strange ideas and perpetrate these. And of course, people who want to get published listen carefully because there's a power imbalance there. If the editor suggests that you should do something, then you should probably do it. However, I'm going to go through a list of things over these several talks and explain to you why some of these things are just nonsense. Me or them, first person versus third person writing. I'm writing this blog, it is not being written, that would be vague and imprecise. Why therefore is a research project done, apparently as if by magic, and moreover, why has it been done by the researcher, presumably the person who has duly done the research? I deliver workshops and seminars on writing for publication across the globe. While I often have comments on some of my more controversial views in academic writing, I never fail to have an argument with a participant or an audience member on the issue of first-person writing. Essentially, I propose with evidence that it is acceptable. I am repeatedly told that it is not. Why? Because that is the nonsense we teach people at school and then perpetuate at university. First-person writing is not scholarly. Thus, we infect people with this ridiculous notion, akin to the nonsense about not using subheadings in essays, in the face of copious evidence and the demonstrable fact that the academic publishing industry has long since moved on. So where is the evidence? Well, only in the most famous and revolutionary scientific article ever written by James Watson and Francis Crick in the world's leading scientific journal Nature, as long ago as 1953, before the author, was born. The opening line's a classic both in scientific modesty and politeness, despite the fact that these two were far from modest or polite, and first-person writing, as in, we wish to suggest a structure for the salt of deoxyribonucleic acid, DNA. The Watson and Crick example is not isolated, either in concept or in time, as demonstrated by the opening two sentences from a 2017 article based on a recent multi-country study from The Lancet, as follows. We did a prospective cohort study. We documented their diet using. Apart from the obvious directness and active nature of first-person writing as opposed to the vague and imprecise nature of passive, it was done by the researcher typewriting. First-person writing often uses fewer words, and fewer words is always better and preferred by editors. This is due to the need to save space and to increase precision. But first-person writing also makes the narrative more engaging, even in relatively dry subjects, and demonstrates that the writer really owns the work. Passive writing detaches the person from the ideas, which some see as a virtue, but which is entirely pointless. The academic publishing industry is in no doubt about first versus third person writing, so I wish to suggest that we abandon it in academia as an outdated and unnecessary concept.